everyone. Welcome to the College Exploration Spotlight Series. My name is Victoria and I work for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Each episode, we're going to be interviewing current or recently graduated students at a variety of schools for teens to learn more about colleges before applying. Finding the right school to fit your wants and needs can be hard, but the library is here to help. Let's have some fun and explore these schools together. All opinions expressed by interviewees are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Charlotte Mecklenburg Library or its affiliates. Their opinions are based upon their experiences and information in which they consider to be reliable. Today's interview is with JC. So hi, JC. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
All right. So what school did you attend?
I went to Louisiana State University, or LSU, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah, so obviously that's where it's located. What is that city or town like for anyone who's never been there before?
So Baton Rouge is the capital of Louisiana, but it's honestly kind of shares the same popularity as New Orleans does. It's just kind of a calmed down version of New Orleans. Louisiana in general has such a fun culture. And, you know, I'm from Texas originally, but I lived on the border and I have a lot of Cajun heritage. My last name is Dardo. So it's very, it's very obvious that I have that Cajun culture and right there. And it's just a lot of fun, a lot of gumbo, and everyone is very friendly.
Yeah. I can imagine that, like, the food is really good, that there's like a lot of things to experience and do.
Yeah,
because absolutely. Cajun food's delicious.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how would you rate your overall experience at LSU?
It was perfect. I don't regret anything. I would give it a 10 out of 10. I don't think, especially for my undergraduate, I don't think I would want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what would you say is your favorite part about attending LSU?
You know, it was very special for me because I was a music major, and at LSU, you know, it's a big university. It's the main entire state of Louisiana, and there's a lot of people there. But in my particular major, what was nice is it was still a small community for my major because there's not that many people in the School of Music. Yeah. And so I got to have a small community, but then when I wanted to have those big experiences, like have season tickets to all the football games and all that stuff, I still got the big university experience with a small community. So it was like the perfect balance.
That's really cool. I feel like a lot of people don't get that experience. They're like, my program was still big and my school was big, you know, like they don't get to experience like a little bit of both. That balance would be really exactly. Nice for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So what was the food like on campus? What type of options did you have? Like, did that Cajun culture like get kind of influenced into your school stuff?
Yeah, kind of. The food experience is interesting. So there's two options you have. You have the dining halls, and there's two dining halls kind of on opposite sides of campus. There's the Five, which was right by where I live. And then there is the 459. I don't know why they have numbers involved. I really don't know. those are the name of them. And the dining halls can be a little sketchy here and there. My favorite food option that they would have, which I'm like a much healthier person now, so I can't even imagine eating this, but they had mac and cheese, grilled cheese on like certain days of the week sometimes. And those were the days, like people would like text you and be like, hey, they have the mac and cheese, grilled cheese. And you're like, ooh. But they had a lot of great options. They always, because you're right there in Louisiana, there's always seafood options, which I love seafood. And they would sometimes put in some Cajun food every now and then, but it was like, you know, like watered down. It wasn't as flavorful as if you were like to go to a restaurant or go to someone's house, but it wasn't too bad. I ate in the dining hall. We had a rule freshman year because you only get so many with your dining plans, you'd into the dining hall. And, so, and then there was also, we had Tiger Cash, which you could use in our other dining option, which is the Union. That's like where you got your Chick-fil-A, your Subway, like all those things.
Yeah.
And they've changed since I've been there, and they still have Chick-fil-A. I know that. But there's other options there and it's better now. But that's where we would go on Fridays to treat ourselves and use our Tiger Cash. But we would force ourselves to go during the week to the dining hall. And like, I mean, I never starved. It was good.
That's awesome. Like, cause I know like it's kind of been an overarching theme from all the people I've talked to about, you know, dining hall experiences, that some people are just like, I mean, it's kind of like that cafeteria food experience. It's not always, the best. It's not always bad. It's just, it's there. But of course, the Chick-fil-A is the overarching favorite I found that
Yeah,
everyone
that's
was like.
where, yeah, but we were very disciplined, and like we would, as my whole friend group, we would be like make ourselves make sure we would go and use our dining spots. We're like, we're paying for this, because if you live on campus, you're required to have a dining plan. So we had to have it, which I mean, I don't know how it would have gotten through my freshman year without it, because you like in your dorm, you don't have it like a kitchen in your room. So either that or like pizza rolls in your room.
And that's interesting to know that if you live on campus, that they require the dining hall thing. I don't know if that's a common thing in universities. I never lived on campus. I do not know. But I do know that, like, obviously, if you live on campus, it is definitely helpful to have, that dining hall experience as
Oh yeah,
well.
for sure. There's a lot of money that like you'll be spending if you don't.
Absolutely. So you kind of already mentioned this. You clearly lived on campus. So what are those residence halls like? Were they all kind of the same? Did they vary by like year to year?
So I would say at LSU, now they've changed rules since I've been there. The year after I graduated, actually, I think they were trying to. No, I'm sorry if that was wrong. they were requiring, it was had to do with cars. But most freshmen, I feel like a good live on campus, and it's mainly freshmen that live in the dorms. Now there are some apartment complex. There's three apartment complexes that are through the residential at LSU, and one of them's brand new and looks super nice. I would live there. But those are more like non-freshman apartments that people will say. Yeah, a lot of that like football players stay on campus there and all that. But the dorms are mainly freshmen only. It's not like you can live in them if you're not, but it's just you're going to be around a lot of younger students. But I stayed in my freshman year, and my dorm was Kirby Smith, and it's the tallest building on campus, and it's kind of an eyesore from the outside, but it was one of the better options, because there's a couple things you're weighing when you decide on a dorm. Mine was location to like where I was going to be. So I knew I was going to be by the College of Music and Dramatic Arts and School of Music buildings that are right next to each other. So I wanted to be close to those. And I really did not want to have a communal shower. And most of the dorms on LSU's campus were not really renovated that recently. And so a lot of them are still communal shower. Kirby Smith, however, had been renovated like in 2011, which feels like forever now. But at the time when I was going in 2014, I was like, oh, this is brand new. And they had suite baths. So I had a roommate in my tiny dorm room, and then we had suite mates that lived in a room. Like there was a big door we walked into, and then both of our rooms were on either side. And then there was a bathroom right in the middle. And so that we only had to, I only had to share a bathroom with three other girls, and that was much better situation than like I don't
A
know a
hall
war. Yeah.
of women.
Absolutely. That was like one of my biggest concerns, but it ended up being a good thing. And I have some friends that lived on the whole other side of campus, which is where the majority of the dorms are, and they didn't really think about like location to like where our classes would be most of the time. And their trek to class would be like a solid 15 minutes sometimes. And like I could wake up and be out the door and get to my building in 10 minutes if I was in a real hurry and woke up late.
And see, that's really nice. And I think like what you were saying is really important because you're the second person who mentioned this specifically about as they looked at dorms, like looking at the types of like bathroom situations, because someone else had mentioned they're like, I knew myself. I knew that I had lived sharing a bathroom with like one sibling my whole life. I knew there was no way that I was going to be able to do that. And so like seeking out that type of option or like those opportunities, like when you're looking at a school, like if they only have communal bathrooms, you're like, well, that's not for me, then maybe that school's not for you, kind of thing. Like that's gonna be a thing.
I'm a big germaphobe, so it's just the idea of it is disgusting to me.
And I think like I find that interesting that mostly freshmen live in the dorms, that like obviously other people do, but that it's sort of like kind of a known thing that if you're living in these particular style of dorms, it's probably freshmen, and that I'm guessing everyone else either gets off-campus housing or does the like apartments you were saying.
Yeah, absolutely. My sophomore through senior year, it was a really good situation. I had a sister that lives in Baton Rouge, and they had moved houses the summer I was going into college, and they decided to rent their old house out to a friend of theirs to kind of like help pay off their old mortgage. And what they ended up doing is he only stayed in there for a year. So when it came up to it, my sophomore year, like the summer going into my sophomore year, that house was open and they're like, hey, like, do you want to rent it out to you and like two of your friends? Because there's three bedrooms. And that was a cheaper rent option for all three of us to be sharing like a $1,200 rent versus like trying to get an apartment. It was much cheaper and like much better situation because you're not even in an apartment, you're in a full like big old house. That was a really, let's not, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people I knew did rent houses, but it was just nice that like we knew the landlord. It was my brother-in-law, and like he was a fix-it man, would come if there was any problems immediately. It was like by far, I have never had a better renting experience than I did in as my first one. I'm kind of upset that was my first one. But nothing will be as good as that ever again until I buy a house.
Yeah, because I've
But
seen that
yeah, no.
happen like a lot with people in different areas. Like one of my sisters went to Appalachian State, and for them, I know that they basically only allow freshmen to live in the dorms, and then after that, you're required to get other housing. And so she lived in, I guess in a weird way, it could be considered a dorm situation, but it was a sorority specific situation. And then after that, she was renting like apartments and housing. And like the housing in the Boone area, like it's small, so it's limited. And that was a big thing, is that like for something like this, sometimes you just have to figure out like what does that look like? Am I going to be able to find like a really decent rent, apartment or house? Like what is that situation? And again, is it close to campus? Is it going to be something, like that I can maintain?
There's so many different things you have to think about, and it's so easy to like it's there's a lot of when you look around campus, there's a lot of they're off-campus apartments, but they're like right on top of the campus, and you look at them, you're like, those look super nice, but they're like, they're those apartments that you see kind of going up everywhere that they look really nice, and then you walk inside, you can see that like like they like slap this on real quick because they're I mean they're building as quick as they can, and so it's just you have to like think about quality, and you have to be like, is it worth me? Because like I know some people are like, it's worth it for me to pay that extra money for like a kind of cheaply made apartment because it's right here on campus and I don't have to drive to campus because parking is like a whole nother thing.
Yeah, that's a big thing too, is that like I've heard that some schools like they don't have parking at the campus, apartments that are like right off campus, because people will try and park there instead of like getting a parking pass and all of those little things. But like that was one of the big things when I was choosing places to live. I was like, can I walk to campus? Do I have to drive? Like how far is my drive? Like what's that look like? So yeah, like it totally makes sense. It really does. So, can you tell me about your best or like a standout faculty experience? I'm betting you've got something if you were in such like a small community in your music program.
It's honestly kind of hard because, when I went to LSU, I went to LSU because my family has always been big LSU fans, and I have three older sisters, and two out of three of them went to LSU. And my dad went to like an LSU branch off in LSU Eunice, Louisiana. And so it was just kind of a family tradition. And like, I don't think my parents like forced me to go there, but it was like I wanted to go there, and I didn't even know what I wanted to major in yet. And I was really lucky to find out that like at LSU, like they have an amazing music program that I didn't even know really existed. Until I auditioned and got in, and then like started to meet the faculty. And like I said, because it's such a small community, you just get so much individual attention that I feel like a lot of people, when they're at a big university, you don't feel that. Like you might find one professor here or there that you like get close to, but honestly, like I have multiple, but one of the biggest ones for me is my senior year. She was my elementary music education teacher, and she ended up kind of helping coach me through my student teaching as well. And her name is Dr. Anne Marie Stanley, and she was an amazing person. She still is an amazing person. I still to this day like will text her. Like I mean, I just got done with my first year of teaching, and so like I would text her and be like, "Help!" She was elementary based, but since I teach middle school, a lot of it crosses over. I'd be like, "Help!" Like I need something to do with these baby sixth graders. Tell me like what are some games I can do? And she's just always is there to like even once you graduate, like help you out in whatever way you.
And you have to love that. Like, and that's one of the big things, like I emphasize to people when I talk about, getting to know your professors and everything. Like, if you have the dynamic where you can do that, these people can become extremely major, like mentors and help you. Like, to have someone that you can contact in your first year of teaching, because I know your first year of teaching is hard. And especially since your first year of teaching, like was in a situation like where we're at now, it's really important to have like someone who's been doing it a little bit longer that can be like, okay, this is the way I would do it, you know, or like whatever, and give you any advice that you need, because it's stressful.
Yeah, it's hard. It's you have to, and like I feel like that way when you join any profession. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know from so many different that have graduated with so many different majors and are in so many professions now that are like, you know what? I didn't really learn like what I needed to learn until I was on the job. And that's just kind of a part of it is like, you know, you can only teach so much. And like, I mean, it's like that for teaching for sure. Like you can only have these fake like practicum situations that you go into until like until you're the only one there, it doesn't get real. And so
Yeah,
like
oh, for
you
sure.
have to have a community to be able to fall back on, whether that's like people you graduated with, because it definitely was that for me, because I've waited a year to start my teaching. So I had some friends that had already finished their first year. And so they're like, oh yeah, I remember that. Watch out for October. That's one of the worst months, which it was. And it was just like to have both like both professional and like friends to be able to fall back on. And especially when you're getting jobs, like to have that one professor that will like stick their neck out for you is so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I already know the answer to this, but you did say that you took a year off in between going to school and then starting your job. I know what you did, but can you say why you decided to take that year off and like what your reason behind that was?
So, I took that year off because I was at Disney doing the Disney College program. And I kind of had wanted to do that for a long time. My degree was special in a lot of ways of the way the courses that are offered a lot of times, like if especially in bigger degree programs, courses are offered both semesters. But in mine, it'd be like, you know, I had to take piano classes and I had to take six piano classes and one for like that was one for each semester until my senior year. And if I missed, like say if I went to the college program in the spring and missed piano four, I would not be able to move on to piano five in the fall when I came back. And they don't offer piano four in the fall. It only is a spring like offering. So if I was to leave and then come back, no matter what I did, no matter what classes I took, because you can't take classes while you're on the college program, no matter what I did, I would be a year behind. And I was paying out of state tuition. So I could not afford to be a year behind. And
Yeah.
so I decided once I realized it was an option for me to apply for the program, and I think now you can be like a full year out of college and still apply.
That's really
But
cool.
once I applied for that program and realized that I could do it post graduating, I was like, oh yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. So I applied my spring of my senior year. And then once I got in, it was kind of a tough decision because I felt pressure from my family to kind of go straight into my career, except for my mom. And she was like, no, this is like your time to do something for you. And like, you don't get to, once you start, you can't stop your job. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so I went and it was, I ended up staying for a year and I was in attractions in Fantasyland. And it was, I don't regret any of it. It was a great experience and some of my favorite memories.
Yeah, and I think like from what I've learned about, you know, the Disney College program or the DCP as everyone calls it, from, you know, everyone that I've met that has done it, I think that it overarchingly teaches them a lot about customer service or how to interact with people, and it gives you a little bit of like that under pressure, like knowing how to like function and like work under that. And I think it's just like it's something fun, but it's still work at the same time, and it gets you ready to be like, okay, I'm ready to jump into my career. Like, let's do this. You know, you're
Yeah,
not like I
absolutely.
jump straight from being, you know, stressed out to the max in college and working so hard to do this straight into a job where I'm like not even getting to have like anything in between. So that was one of the main reasons why I kind of wanted you to share that, 'cause I just think it was like a really cool thing that I want to make sure that listeners understand that like something like that exists and you can get real life work experience. And depending on the school, you know, you can get like credit and it doesn't like go against you. Like there's a lot of opportunity there and
Yeah,
it's
there's a
really
lot of
cool.
opportunities. And once you get out of the program, and if you, and I mean, sometimes some people never leave and like figure out how to create careers for themselves at Disney. It's definitely possible. I mean, that was something I didn't leave out of the realm of possibility. And I still honestly don't. I have like this weird dream of like going back and not working in the parks necessarily, but being more on like the corporate side of it and all those things. And like, because I have a connection with the company, and one of the easiest ways to get those connections is through the college program.
And isn't there something with the Disney College program where like if you've been there for a certain amount of time and you like work full time that like depending on the school in Florida, like they'll pay for your college tuition?
Yes, yeah. So if you switch over, so you know, the CPs, the college programmers, are just like basically interns that like you're the bottom of everyone's list. And so if you are able to switch to part-time, which most people do eventually get an offer. I did not get an offer for part-time in the fall, but I extended my program. And in the spring, I actually did get an offer for a part-time in Pandora Attractions. And I had already made plans and to move back, so I didn't follow through with that. But if I was to take that, once you're in part-time, it's very easy to switch over to full-time. And actually, I think maybe even, I could be wrong with this, but even and possibly in part-time, I think once you're like an actual Disney employee and you're not just a college program intern, they have the Aspire, or yeah, I think that's what it's called, Aspire
I think it is
program.
too.
And yeah, there's a lot of people go through, oh my gosh, what's that college right there that everyone goes to? I can't think of it right now, but a lot of people go through that college, but I think there's a couple of different options for you. And yeah, they do pay for a lot. I know a lot of people when I was working there had started like their master's and stuff through there. And I was like, that's a great option. Like, 'cause I'm getting pressured to like start my master's program now. And I'm like, I don't want to pay for that. I still have lots of undergrad debt that needs to get paid off before I can start thinking about master's, but that's a great option if you would
Yeah.
be into that.
And exactly. It's like an opportunity like that, like doing an internship, going to school kind of opportunity. And like not every school offers the opportunity for you to do the DCP and it count through the school. And not every program, like you said, will allow you to be able to do that and it not like set you back in what you're attempting to do. But I mean, when it comes to financial aid, especially for people who like maybe the money is a big deal or you're paying out of state tuition or whatever that looks like, you maybe start going to one school, or you do the school you want to go to for undergrad, and then you use an opportunity like that to do grad school or continue your education or whatever that looks like and have it covered because it's a really neat thing to do for sure.
Absolutely. And it looks so good on your resume. I mean, like what you were saying earlier, I can't tell you. I mean, because people, as soon as they see Disney on your program, they're like, oh, what is that like? And it's a perfect, I can't tell you every, I did a million interviews last spring and summer, and almost every interview after introducing each other started out like they skipped everything else on my resume and went straight to Disney and was like, so what was that about? And like wanted to know all about it. Because you have like your secret Disney fans, and it's just like it's an interesting thing to talk about. And there is like fun little like tidbits you can give them, and like it just makes things, it breaks the ice immediately in an interview, and you can bring a lot of those skills. Like, I mean, a lot of the things I did at Disney made it a lot easier for me to be a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, when people see the name Disney, they know what that means. Like they're aware of what that looks like and you can take applicable, skills that you learned and talk about what you did and how they apply to other things and that customer service concept. Like people know the name Disney and they know what that means to work, in a Disney location and like the way that cast members have to, behave and the way they do things. So, yeah, no, you're right. Like it's great for, your resume. People are going to see that and be like, "Oh, they know something." That interview
Absolutely.
conversation breaks the ice immediately. I love that you said that because it's so true. All right, so we kind of talked about it a little bit. Would you say that campus is easy to navigate? And I know that you said like your freshman year that you were super close to the buildings you were in, but like how far would you typically have to like walk or bike or take any kind of campus transportation to get to any like buildings or classes you needed to get to?
Yeah, so my freshman year, most of my classes would be about like a maybe a 8 to 10 minute walk from the dorm I was in. And I would say, I feel like it's probably different for like anyone that's not like in a specialty major like that. If you're taking like, like I would have made like, even as a freshman, a lot of my specific major classes happened my freshman year. Like I only would have like one general ed course like every semester to try to get those credits out of the way. But I feel like a lot of people do their gen ed courses for first, and once you get to your junior year, you get major specific. So it's kind of, I feel like I have a special situation with that. But I would mainly only have an 8 minute walk, and a lot of my classes would be in the same two buildings that are right next to each other throughout the morning. And then, like I said, if I had a general ed class, I would have to go into some of the more main area of campus, which was only like another like 8 minute walk from the buildings I was in. And I think that is like probably where most people were at. Like there's a good amount of halls that are all in that same little area that the quad, as you could call it, because it's like a rectangle or whatever. And so people, that's where most people were at, especially their freshman and sophomore year, because that's where all the general ed courses are taught. But driving wise, parking as a resident is not as bad as parking if you're a commuter. So like I commuted my sophomore through senior year. That was very tricky. And it, especially where I park specifically to try to get as close as possible to my building. I actually parked very close to the dorm I stayed at, but they had started building a new dorm in our parking lot that the commuters parked in and made us move over like to a gravel lot behind that lot. And it became like a journey to walk to, like you'd have to add like, a good like 15 minutes to your commute time to make sure that you could like walk, especially like in Louisiana in the spring or in the early fall. Like it's just hot and humid and like you're like dripping in sweat by the time you get to your class.
I
But
mean, I went to New Orleans once around Thanksgiving and it was still pretty hot in November. So I can imagine it's not fun in that spring, summer, early fall space. So yeah, I mean, that's great advice to be like super aware of like where you're parking and how much time you need and what you're going to need to get there, like water to make sure that you're good.
I can't tell you in my sophomore year, my best friend slash roommate, she had, I don't remember, she like broke something in her leg. And so she had a boot on. And because of that, through the disability service at LSU, she got to have a parking pass that went that park she could park literally right by our buildings, like on the street by our building. And I was like, it was like a gold mine. And so I can't tell you how many people we would end up carpooling so many people so that like we could all get fit in her car and be able to like not have to like trek all the way to class. It was an amazing time. And I was so sad when her boot got off.
But hey, and that's a good thing to mention too, that like if something like that happens and like you need the accommodation to like check out the disability services and see what's available to you as far as like is there, a special parking pass situation or whatever that looks like, depending on like what your needs are, like those services do exist and they can attempt to make accommodations for you.
And especially at large universities, they are very active and advocate for you really well.
Absolutely. All right. So we kind of talked about this because you said that your family went to LSU a lot, but were there any specific factors that led you to choose LSU over any other schools that you had applied to?
No, it really is just family, and it was kind of a culture. My dad has always had season tickets to since I was born. He's had season tickets to LSU football games, and so I would always there was like certain games I'd always go to him with him to see, and I got to see the culture firsthand at the very beginning, and I mean LSU tailgating is like a new level of crazy, and it's so fun, and it's just like. It's just you just look around and you're like everyone's having such a good time all the time, and it is true. Like I mean, there's been times that we've had like my freshman year, there was like a tornado or warning that was happening like all day, and it was scary because like that doesn't really happen there, and so you're just like looking at the sky and it's like pitch black, and we like classes got canceled, and we like all went into someone's dorm and just like had like a giant party the whole day, and like it was like with people I barely knew. And we were just all in this dorm room, like with them, like I swear there was 30 people in that dorm room just playing games and all that stuff. And it just seems like it's just a place that like even if you're in a bad situation, like they'll make good of it. And that was something that was clear to me even as a kid. And so I always liked that. I also enjoyed that I had a sister there. Everywhere I've lived except Orlando, I have had a sister that lives in that city. So it's been very nice to, like if you don't know anyone, at least there's someone there. Like I would go my freshman year instead of washing my laundry in the dorms, I would go to her house on Sundays and always wash my laundry, and then we'd have like Sunday dinner together. And so it's nice because you have someone there for emergency contact.
Yeah, I really like that because I think for a lot of people, they assume they're going to be fine when they leave to go to school and then they get separated and they're like, I was not expecting, to feel homesick or like what I was going to need or what that was going to look like. And then just to know that like ahead of time that like you had the experience as, a child growing up to get to experience a culture of a university, but to go and experience it as much as possible, like going to a game, if your family or, allows you to go with just your friends or go all together to experience a school before you apply, just to see like, hey, like if I spend 4 years here, like am I gonna want, like, is this the culture and community I want to be a part of? Like, is this the way this feels? Because you never know what it's gonna feel like until you're there and you're living it. But like, you had a really good sense of having experienced it, and you're like, no, like, this is the type of people I want to be around. Like, this is it, and I think that's really cool.
I think that's definitely something. I feel like we have such a pressure to think solely about like, okay, I want to go to this university because they have a good program for my major. This is, it has this and this academic wise, but, and that's super important, but you also have to look at the other side of things and think about just the overall culture and community of the university, because it can have a great like program for you, but you're gonna still have a struggle time if you don't meld well together with the community aspect of the, because every university is so different with that kind of culture and community. So I think that's definitely important. I mean, when I was looking, like I said, I didn't really even know what the music program looked like. I mean, my mom's a choir teacher, so she was gonna tell me if I like shouldn't go somewhere because they don't have any kind of program for me. But she kind of just let me like lean to wherever like I felt socially I would bloom at. And I was a very quiet person, and LSU definitely like pulled me out of that.
And that's awesome, honestly. And I think it's great advice to like look at something not only for the academia, but also for the culture and community, because I think a lot of people will be told consistently to focus on academia and then they miss the other aspect. And sometimes you just don't flourish in the academia side because everything else isn't as positive as you'd like it to be, you know? So that balance is super, super
Yeah,
important.
absolutely.
All right, well, my very last question for you. What do you wish you had known that an incoming or prospective student could benefit from?
So I think honestly, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'm so far removed from it now that I don't even know if I can answer this question like as cool as I could have when I was in college. But I think the best thing to do is if you had, this is what I would do if I was a high schooler again. And I was like a junior. I would befriend a senior. Don't friend them too hard because you'll miss them when they leave. And then they go off to college, and then you like hear their day-to-day struggles of their freshman year of college. Because I think that it's a nice reminder to every like as you're in your senior year and they're in their freshman year of college to be able to hear what they are struggling with on a day-to-day basis. Because I feel like I look back at my freshman year and all I see is like, oh, it was a great time. It was happy. I loved living on campus because all my friends lived on campus and it was just like a party all the time. But there was definitely struggles. And I think one of the biggest ones, oh, I hope you can't hear that. People are starting to do yard work outside. One of the biggest things I think honestly for me was being homesick. And I was not planning on that at all. I was definitely in the sense of, oh, I'll be fine. Like, I can't wait to get away from my parents and from this nasty hometown. And then I left and I was like, you know what? There's aspects of that that I miss. So I would say make sure you keep connected with your hometown. And I honestly didn't visit that often. It was only 2.5 hours away from my hometown. And I maybe visited like once before Thanksgiving break. My freshman year. And I think that it's kind of important to like, you know, don't go home every weekend if you're away from home because it's hard to connect it in your campus. But also make sure you at least stay connected like through texting or phone calls or whatever, because like there was friendships that like helped me through my freshman year while I was still not solid in my friendships at college that helped me that were from high school that were also having the same struggles with me in their colleges. And it's kind of one of those things, you know, I feel this way right now going into my second year of teaching and having to deal with what the world is right now. And it's so nice to hear people go, oh yeah, I don't know what I'm doing either. And you're like, oh good, we're both in the same boat. And I think that was a lot of my freshman year was reaching out to people that were old friends of mine that were also in college and being like, I'm not completely okay right now. And they're like, neither am I. Let's talk about it. And you're like, oh, okay, good. We're like, we all think we're all dealing with some unique thing, but it's just because no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah, and I really like that because like the first piece of advice that you gave saying like as like a high schooler to start like recognizing that the people above you are going to go first and learning what they're struggling with so you can start preparing, because I know a lot of high school teachers say it, but high school and college are very different. And it's a very different experience going from like your K-12 experience the minute that you hit college, like the responsibility level changes, like it's mostly yours. Like it basically is all yours. And while that's sort of the case in high school, like they're more apt to like kind of be like, no, you need to do this assignment this versus like that's not gonna happen in college. And then, you know, when you once you get there to remember like as much as you probably wanted to leave, you know, because you're ready to blossom and, you know, grow and be an adult and, you know, experience college, like to stay connected because that those roots and that grounding can like really help you when you struggle, because the likelihood being at some point there will be some form of struggle that will come.
Oh
And
yeah.
having that is super important.
Yeah.
I stayed in my hometown, so like I stayed. So.
Well, and also something I thought about while you were saying that, like with high school and college are so very different. Yeah. And at the same time, it was like, I feel like in high school, teachers always want to scare you with that thought process of being like, they're not going to treat you like a baby when you get to college. And I think something that's, what I experienced a lot in different classes and different professors, even with some of the bigger classes I was in, they just treat you like an adult, and they're not going to baby in the sense of like, yeah, they're not going to like remind you every 5 seconds like where you're supposed to be or whatever, but they are also so willing to have conversations with you and go to their office hours. And I think it's like one of those things is like, don't put your professor on this like shiny pedestal of like, oh, they don't want to like they're I'm just like they're I'm just their student, and like they don't want to have conversations with me, because I feel like a lot of professors go into that because like they want to be able to connect closer to their students and help them more in like a big time of their life, that your high school teachers just kind of, there's more of a barrier between the two of you.
I would completely agree. Honestly, I really would. Like I had a lot of professors that I had took multiple times and that were people who wrote recommendations for jobs for me, and we sat down and had meetings about like what my next steps were for after I was to graduate, and then even post-graduation I went back to have conversations because they were people who had taken my degree program, who had careers and could give recommendations based upon my experiences in their courses, and we're like, this is what I think you should do, or I'm hearing you say this, maybe this is the path you should take, kind of thing. And they're just as willing to be invested as other people might be. Like some high school teachers try, but they've got a lot more students. So it's not to take a professor and think, oh, well, they don't want to. They probably do more than you think they do. Absolutely.
It just looks different, and because you have this weird like, oh, we're in college now kind of thought in your head, it just like it makes you think that things are more separated than they actually are. It's very similar to high school in the sense of like relationship wise. It's just there is some more rigor to it, and you just have to have more, self-control and responsibility for yourself.
Absolutely. I would completely agree with that. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I actually really, really love learning more about LSU because I didn't know that much about it. So that was really cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me. It was fun.
The library wants to be able to help teens on their journey as best we can. So for more information about college and career connections, please visit Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library's website, cmlibrary.org/teens, and also check out the Career Exploration Spotlight podcast series. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. If you loved what you just heard or know someone who would, please share it. Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on social media, and don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you want to lend your personal support to what we're doing, leave a review on your podcast provider. Tune in every other week for a new episode of the College Exploration Spotlight series, and we'll see you then.